steps, and that was Amy's next step. It's just been beautiful to see how Amy first came up here, and all she dared to do was just sing a song. And then she stepped out and said, you know what, maybe I can say something, or maybe I can offer a prayer. And then this week she said, don't count on it, but I might be able to play and sing this Sunday. So, awesome. Next steps. So we tease Kuhn a lot about he talks too much, and but you gotta love the way this guy is so passionate about community, and I just love that. Just encourages my soul when he speaks about the importance of what it means to be the family of God. It's a big deal, you guys. And so take what he said to heart. And it's part of what we're celebrating this morning in terms of new members. We're going to be introducing 8 new members to the New Life family. And these people, yes, yes. And these, in fact, why not I just invite them all up. If you were in my class this fall, just come on up on stage here. And these people have taken a New Life Connects class, which is an introductory class to say, here, get to know New Life a little better, and what does it mean to be part of the body of Christ? So even though it's partly a signing up on in terms of the New Life organization, more importantly, it's all about saying, I commit to the body of Christ. I commit to being part of Christ's body here in this specific place. And so when we become members here at New Life, we join together in covenant to say, I'm going to be a member. But that member means that it's not just a matter of just being part of a club, but you're committed to building up the body of Christ together. And so when you become members, we ask you to enter into this covenant to live a life of personal purity and relational integrity, to uphold the unity of the body and support the leadership of the church, to set aside time daily to cultivate a relationship with God through prayer and the word, to participate weekly in public worship, to support the ministry of New Life through faithful giving, to engage in ministry according to the spiritual gifts God has given, and to participate in a life group to be drawn into community and follow Jesus more faithfully, and to help friends, relatives, neighbors into a relationship with Christ and his church. So it's a big deal to raise your hand and say, I'm committed. I'm going to serve God in the context of the community of Christ. So we are introducing today these wonderful people. And there at the end of the line is Neil Armstrong. And don't say anything about, no, he's sick of that. Like, he's had that his whole life. Neil is Neil, okay? Neil came to New Life through Hannah Victory, and so I was introduced to Neil, and we've been connecting, and Neil lives here in the Valley, but works in Fort St. John, and so traveling back and forth. So when you remember Neil, just pray for his safety and blessing as he travels back and forth. And what's the temperature out in Fort St. John right now? Cold, yes, very cold, I would add. Next, we have Glenn and Sharon Paddock. And Glenn and Sharon have come to us recently. They have a wonderful story to tell you, and I'm going to let them tell it. They moved into the area. Glenn was teaching at University of Fraser Valley and has since retired and are establishing themselves here. You have many family in Seattle area, I think, right? And so they're crossing the border all the time. You might want to pray for that, too. And then we have David and Anita Dreesen, and they were newly married. Woohoo! Justin did the wedding. That was in November. They had a destination wedding in Listowel, Ontario. And so, beautiful. Yes, it's a great place. I've been there, actually. I've been there. And yes, so we're welcoming them. Anita is from Listowel, Ontario, and she's coming to us from a church there. And David will be doing a profession of faith today. Oh, and I forgot to mention, so Neil, you probably already noticed, is going to be baptized today as well. And Glenn and Sharon are reaffirming their faith. Then we have Sam Visser. Sam Visser also comes from Ontario by way of Guatemala. You served for a time in Guatemala. And what? Well, more or less recently graduated from Redeemer as well. And has moved into the area here. We've been blessed by her presence as well. You've seen her probably up on stage here once in a while as well. And so she is transferring her membership and becoming a member here at New Life. And we're welcoming her. As also Leon Tomey. Perhaps you've seen Leon here. How long have you been around here?
Like 4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years. And so he's been around. And he's taken the next step to say, yep, I'm in. I'm part of this place. I want to be involved in the ministry. And so we welcome Leon. And then we have Jenny Strading. And Jenny is coming to us by way of Austria, right? Yes. So if you want to hear a lovely, lovely accent, make sure you speak with Jenny, all right? You've been recently married as well, right? How long?
1.5 years.
One and a half years. Oh, long time. Yeah. So to Tyler Strading, Tyler, raise your hand. Just get it. Hey, there you are, right? You've probably noticed Tyler. He's often in the drum kit there. So we're welcoming Jenny into our midst as well. So extend a warm welcome to them. And yeah, awesome. So here's the deal. Make sure that you get a chance to speak with them, welcome them warmly. And as Kuhn was talking about, this is what the 3 minutes are for. So you saw their pictures. You know what they look like. Next week, track them down. Say, welcome to New Life. All right? Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4 of you can sit down, and 4 of you can stay on stage. They know who they are. All right. So at this time, yes. So David is going to do a profession of faith. We'll start with you. And David's going to give his testimony. And then Glenn and Sharon. And then Neil. So.
There. Whoa. Hello, my name is David Dreesen, and I have been attending New Life for about 10 years. I grew up in a Christian household and went to Abbotsford Christian School. I had a pretty standard upbringing, but through that time, the Christian faith didn't mean much to me. I knew God was real and all-powerful, but didn't want him to fully control my life. I dealt with severe anxiety at times throughout middle school and high school, and in those times, I would ask God for help, but wouldn't get the answers I was expecting, and give up as soon as things got better again. I would ignore God and thought I could do it all on my own. After high school, I went to Ontario for college. This brought a lot of anxiety and stress due to the fact of moving across the country and leaving friends and family. This made the transition to college life more difficult. The college I attended was secular, and I had a very different culture than I had ever experienced before. I was extremely lucky to have a Christian roommate that I got along with well and a few other friends who were strong in their faith. Through first semester, I ignored God and wanted to enjoy the party life, but that's not what God had planned for me. Towards the end of first semester, I had important relationships end and some health problems arise. I was very blessed to have my aunt live close to the school, and she was able to help me through these times, but I knew in my heart I needed to change. I wrestled with my faith for the next few months. Then I got the chance to go to my school's sports weekend in Guelph, where I stayed with a good friend of mine, Lauren, and her family. Her faith in God was very strong, and during this weekend I learned a lot about God and his faithfulness through the conversations we were able to have and see the light he was in her life. Shortly after this, I knew that Jesus was my one and only Savior, and through him I could do anything. After this, my faith began to grow, and my morals, values, and beliefs were fortified in Christ. They were challenged frequently by the culture of the school, but I knew in my heart that what was right. My anxiety and wanting to control my life still lingered, but then I read Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This became a verse I read regularly and has helped me see that God is all-powerful and my worries have no place in my life. From there, I was blessed with my amazing wife, Anita, and many other important people in my life. I saw his faithfulness and love through the rest of school and work during my time in Ontario. I then moved back to Abbotsford in New Life, and it has been a huge blessing to have an amazing community like this surrounding me. I have many people to thank for encouragement and wisdom to get me to this point in my faith walk. I know that this is just the beginning of my relationship with Jesus, and I'm excited to make this commitment publicly and be held accountable in the faith, as I know I will continue to struggle, but through the grace shown by God in this community, I can continue and grow and walk with Jesus.
Hey, bless you. I have a Bible here for you. So you've worked a lot with Kuhn and Justin, going through youth ministry and young adults and so on, and Kuhn actually suggested this passage for you. I've written it in your Bible, and it's from Matthew 6, where Jesus uses a lot of agricultural language, and David is a farmer, and it ties in exactly with your testimony, where Jesus says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Bless you, man. Yeah.
Good morning. I'm Sharon Paddock. I was brought up in a Christian home, and I made a commitment to Christ when I was 16. For many, many years, I walked with God. But then gradually, I stopped making God a priority. He never left me, but I started to leave him. And it became easier and easier to let other things take over. Gradually, I stopped going to church. And when we moved, it was easy not to bother finding another church community. But by the fall of 2018, I increasingly felt a void in my life and a desire to seek a closer walk with God and find a church community. My New Year's resolution for 2019 was to read my Bible cover to cover, something I'd never done, and to start reading my Bible every day. I haven't finished the entire Bible, as I find there are many parts that I linger over, but I'm getting there. Another resolution was to find a church community, and I had a conversation with a new neighbor named Ida Bowman, and she asked casually, "Do you have a church you're attending?" And I said, "No." So that conversation came back. She invited us to come to New Life. And so in the new year, we started coming to New Life. And it has been our home church ever since. As I started reading my Bible, I found that passages seemed to leap off the page and speak to me like they'd never done before. One verse in particular has become my guiding light. It is a Psalm of David, 2 Samuel 22, verse 21, and it's from the Message. "God made my life complete when I placed all the pieces before him, when I cleaned up my act." I have made these words part of my daily prayer and commitment. Before I held back pieces of my life that I'd wanted to have control over, now I work on giving every aspect over to His control. I am putting God first in my life. As I have given God those pieces, I have found a hunger to know God in a deeper way. Passages of scripture that I memorized earlier now have new meaning and seem to just come when I need them. I see the importance now of praying about everything, and I work on putting that into practice. I prayed about finding a church that had a teaching ministry, small groups, and music that would lead me into worship. Wow, that was answered in spades. God answered those prayers in abundance with new life, and it is amazing to me how quickly new life came to feel like the place that I belonged in. I've changed how I spend my time. My first part of the day is spent reading God's word and listening to what He would have me to do. I am more aware that God wants my time to be spent in ways that are pleasing to Him, and I'm working on doing this. Do I have thoughts that are pleasing to God? I find myself rethinking now what I watch, the books I read, the music I listen to. These influence how I think. Do I carry resentments and hold on to hurts? I'm learning to place those before God and to ask forgiveness and to seek forgiveness of those I have hurt. And my attitude, is it critical? Eager to find fault? Or am I striving to look at people and circumstances through my God-listening heart? I am at heart an introvert, but God is gently pushing me to reach out to others and not be so self-centered. And finally, am I saying words that encourage and are kind, or am I quick to criticize? Over the years, I have said words that I deeply regret, and God is showing me that I need to ask forgiveness from those I have hurt, and I have started doing this. I know that God is leading me to the next steps He has in mind for me. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future.
Wow, bless you. All right, Glenn, why don't you join her? Bless you, thank you. Glenn, why don't you join?
Good morning, New Life. My name's Glenn Paddock, and 1 year ago, Sharon and I walked in to New Life and came among you. You don't know us, but yes, I teach at the university. I used to teach full time, and I know those words that were spoken earlier about the need for connection and to be known. What a marvelous scene to see so many people gathered around and praying for a new life member at a different stage of life that I'm at. Thank you for accepting us. Last week, Pastor Nathan was excited about his message that the Lord had laid on his heart, and I spoke with him this morning, and he's just as excited this morning. I'm excited, but I'm somewhat fearful for today's message, because if you're like me out there, maybe you've read ahead in the story, and you know that Joshua's leadership promise, challenge, and choice, and commitment to serving, then Joshua died, and there's a leadership change, and there's a generational change. And the people fall away when you start reading early in Judges. And they do evil in God's sight. And this is my story. I fell away. I was 17 when I was first gently led to faith in Christ by a man I deeply love. And I was baptized in the Bow River in Calgary in my early 20s, but then I fell away. Not quickly, but slowly. Very, very slowly. But 1 year ago, we came among you. Why? Because in past years, we had been parts of Christian fellowships throughout our journey. Over our soon-to-be 46 years together, Sharon and I had been part of fellowships in Edmonton, Regina, Calgary, Vancouver, back to Calgary, West Lafayette, Indiana, and Seattle, now Abbotsford. So our life journey has taken us to a number of locations. We brought three marvelous children into the world, and between our three, we now have four grandchildren, and soon to be five. We both earned advanced graduate degrees, and we both built positive careers as educators, and my work in the mental health community. But we fell away from God and from the community of God faith, communities like this. I left the covenant. The covenant didn't leave me. In December, just before discovering New Life, I came to the end of myself, my efforts to change and manage my own life. I live with a rather obsessive-compulsive mind. I teach. I know the social science research. And over the years, I also filled that mind with many resentments and regrets. A hardness of heart, so to speak, that I have now brought back to the light. I had to admit I was powerless over my life, and many things had become unmanageable. I had to discover again that only the gift of God's grace displayed through Jesus could bring the health and the hope and the enduring happiness. And I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, the covenant-making God that we've been studying the last few weeks and indeed over this last year as we've been here. Sharon read a little bit of Psalm 18 from 2 Samuel 22. So I'm going to read more of it. God made my life complete when I placed all, not some, not just a few, but all the pieces before him. When I cleaned up my act, he gave me a fresh start. Indeed, I keep alert to God's ways now. I haven't taken God for granted, no more. Every day I review the ways he works. I try not to miss a trick. I feel put back together, and I'm watching my step. God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to his eyes. I've done this, and I rededicate my life this morning. I've opened the book of my heart to his eyes. Now I choose God and life and love and forgiveness and powerlessness. In simple honesty, as that great hymn of the church says, I surrender all each day. I choose to follow the words I read in Micah 6:8, 1 hour at a time, 1 day at a time. These words, but he's already made it plain how to live and what to do, what God is looking for in women and men. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love, and don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. And that's from The Message, Eugene Peterson. So I commit to believing what we read in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, again from The Message. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what He wants you from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So I'm going to end with this, that it's with a good deal of growing peace in my life that I claim Psalm 19. God's glory is on tour in the skies. God crafted on exhibit across the horizon. Madam Day holds classes every morning. How appropriate for a retired professor. Professor Knight lectures each evening. Their words aren't heard, their voices aren't recorded, but their silence fills the earth. Unspoken truth is spoken everywhere. Thank you, Ida Bowman, for living your simple yet radical faith, just as this fellowship says. And for saying to Sharon and to me, well, you're welcome at our church anytime. And New Life, we feel welcome. Thank you for accepting us.
Not sure after 46 years if you need another Bible.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a testimony to your reaffirmation of faith. And I wrote in there as well from Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Bless you guys. All right, Neil.
Good morning. My name is Neil Armstrong. Hi, Vaughn. Yeah, it's been a long road to get here. I was thinking about it this morning, and I can't not get emotional when I start thinking about God, right? Mm-hmm. I got clean and sober just under 6 years ago in a fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's a 12-step fellowship, and for years, there was a lot of sin in my life, and there was a lot of separation from you, and a lot of separation from God, and a God that I knew nothing of, because I never grew up with anything remotely like that in my life. My parents weren't believers, or I just never grew up with that, right? And then as time went on, and as I look back now, and as I continue to look back, there's been God in a presence one way or another coming in my life through people, through circumstances. And, you know, when I try to get clean and sober, and it got to this, it was in our third step where it talks about, you know, turning our will and our life over the care of God. And I would fight that because what did that mean to me, right? And anyways, ended up in a Christian treatment center in the mid-2000s. Somewhere in there, and I didn't even know it was going to a Christian treatment center. It was Salvation Army. I didn't know that was a church. And that's where I got my first Bible given to me. And I was there for 3 months, and I spent almost every day with a pastor. She was from Newfoundland, I was her husband and wife were both pastors, and I spent a lot of time with these people. And they're trying desperately to help me. And this went on for a long time. You know, I married a Christian girl in 2009. And, you know, it's like countless things where God was always, like, you know, trying to get me to wake up and trying to get my attention. And I wouldn't wake up, and I couldn't get his attention. And consequences kept getting greater and greater. And, you know, unfortunately, that marriage didn't work out. And time went on. And anyways, I end up at a church in Langley. And I went to this group called Alpha. And again, it was another desperate attempt at trying to get clean and sober. And because I'd kind of given up on Alcoholics Anonymous at this point, that it wasn't going to work for me. So I went to this Alpha group with my wife at the time. And what happened during that was I believed in Jesus. I really did, without a doubt, believe that Jesus was real. And I never thought that would happen in my life. And I was still struggling. Later on that year, I went back to Alcoholics Anonymous. I went through the course of action, these 12 steps, and in the 12 steps, I got this relationship with a God that I didn't understand. And as the journeys continued in my sobriety, that God has gotten to be the God that we pray to here. And I've gotten this love for this God. And through that time, I've met a lot of people. You know, I met Hannah on this trip. And you know, she brought me here, and I met her family. You know, and I met her brother Fred, and Fred's excited about Jesus, right? And I really was attracted to that. You know, I thought, but I was really afraid. You know, my whole life I was really afraid. I was really afraid of a lot of things, right? Afraid of not being good enough. You know, afraid that nobody would love me, and afraid nobody would really understand. And you know, I remember meeting Fred. I was like, well, this guy's a fire, right? You know, and I thought it was a bit much, a little bit. But then part of me, I really didn't. You know, like, you know, when it's, because I had to really look at my life and look at other people's lives and look at things that, like, you know, what's working in others' lives? Why isn't it working in mine? What am I not doing in mine? And, you know, and I've watched other people that I've been on this journey in recovery with doing the same thing. And I watch people leaning towards God and not leaning toward God. And for myself, when I lean towards them or when I don't, what happens, right? And the proof is in the experience, right? I got to experience God. And through that experience, I started to build this relationship, you know, and getting baptized was like just something I came to see Nathan about, because it was just, I want a bigger relationship with God, because I have two kids here that are with me right now, and you know, they're the greatest possessions in my life, but my biggest relationship is with God. Because if I don't have that, my kids probably wouldn't be in my life. And that's the reality of it, right? And you know, it's like when I got sober, it was like God was doing things for me that it was like, you know, we talked about in our fellowship, I couldn't do for myself, right? My first job, I lost my mother right after I quit drinking. My mother passed away, and it was very hard, but I stayed sober during that. And I went to this job, I was on a remote place in Harrison Lake, and there was a guy that was talking about God, talking about really stuff I don't like to talk about because it's very uncomfortable. And he ended up being clean and sober and Alcoholics Anonymous. And we got talking more, and I got him alone one time because I didn't want to tell anybody, because I really felt like something's really wrong with me, right? Like I'm an alcoholic, right? And anyways, we got talking, and so this guy started telling me his story. And as a few minutes went by, he told me he went through this 12-step process in Abbotsford, and he told me who took him through this process. It was the same guy that took me through the process. So we have sponsorship in Alcoholics Anonymous, so I asked him who his sponsor was, and he said Joseph Keats, and I said, that's pretty funny, it's my sponsor too. This guy was from Kelowna, right? And that was like just over five and a half years ago. And stuff like that has happened to me for the last 6 years, right? There's been experience with God over and over and over again, and it happened prior to that when I look back. And so So it took a lot of convincing for me to really believe, and then to trust, right? To trust God that he wants anything to do with a guy like me, and the fact is that he does. And you know, when I was thinking about this morning, I started to get, you know, I was talking to Anna about it on the way here, just getting really emotional, because it's an emotional thing for me, because you know what, God's softened my heart. My heart was very hard for a very long time. And you know, and through seeking his will and his power, my heart's gotten a little softer. And I just want to continue to get softer. And so that's part of me being here right now. And the truth is that I'm scared, right? I'm scared of what that looks like, because it's foreign to me and it's unknown. But it's what I want, and I'm sure it's what God wants for all of us, right? So anyways, that's all I got for now, and time for a bath.
Well done, well done. Might want to hand that to Hannah before you get wet. Neil, I wrote in that Bible there a verse that I want you to be guided by from Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Bless you, brother. So you have made these amazing next steps, and part of that is making commitment, making promise to God, ultimately, but also to your family, brothers and sisters in Christ. So here are three questions that I'm going to ask you, and then you can respond with, I do. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, sent to redeem the world, and do you love him and trust him as the one who has saved you from sin? And do you, with repentance and joy, embrace him as the master of your life? Second, will you commit yourself to strengthening and deepening your relationship with God through worship, through Bible reading, through prayer, and through serving God wherever he leads you? And will you allow us as a church family to help you keep these commitments to Jesus and his church? Neil, what's your answer?
I do.
And David, what is your answer? And Sarah, what is your answer?
I do.
And Glenn, what is your answer?
I do.
God be praised. All right. Let's join together in prayer once again. Why don't you step forward so nobody steps in the tank? And I'm just going to invite family to surround these folks and to bless them, family and friends. Hopefully it's not the whole congregation. Yeah, why don't you step over here. Neil, why don't you just stand over here. Beautiful. Oops, sorry. Awesome.